From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of November 2018. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's from Stuart Peterson. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the weather forecast for the Thanksgiving holiday and on out into the end of the month of November and around the planet too. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Also invite you to visit the Farm Doc Daily website and sign up for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Those start on the 17th day of December. You can do that at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The agricultural economist, along with a farm policy specialist, will be traveling across the state, along with me. We'll be in five cities, and you should make your plans to join us. That's the Farm Economic Summits. They're coming up the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st of December.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Wednesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report the day before Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to you. We're also now joined by Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson. And Jackie, thanks so much for being with us and for all you do for us. I'm awful thankful that you've been with us for such a long time. And happy holidays to you, too.
Well, same thing to you. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone else who's out there in the audience listening. Yeah, and I've been here a long time, I guess, huh?
We both have.
I guess. And hopefully we'll be around for a while yet. Before we get into anything, Todd, first thing I want to do is congratulate you on another successful Farm Assets Conference yesterday in Bloomington. I sure wish I could have been there to join you, and I plan on making it next year. So what a great service you provide for our farmers. Other states just don't know what they're missing, and our guys sometimes, I think, take for granted what they have.
Well, thank you so much. And I had a ball putting this one together, and it'll be fun to have you next year there with us as well. But this one was a really good program. I hope people that were there enjoyed it. The commodity panel will be Commodity Week. Should be up on the website actually tonight, and it'll run, of course, during the closing market report on Friday, which reminds me, because it is a holiday here on campus Friday, we will not have a live closing market report, but it means if you're listening to the home station, you'll hear the whole of Commodity Week and that panel, that discussion. It was a really good one at the Farm Assets Conference, so make sure that you tune in then. The markets are open Friday for a while. They close now. And they won't open again until Friday morning. They won't open again until Friday morning, but they'll close early, I think, during the noon hour. But we'll just take the day off because the university's closed on that day. So I'm going to spend it with my family. We have some things we probably ought to discuss, though, because there's always some managed money flow that happens at this time of year, and there are things that happen prior to holidays. Sometimes I think how, you know, all of those things are put in the books and people just act on them. I'm wondering what the managed money looks like from your perspective at this point, Jackie.
Well, kind of interesting moves. We actually saw wheat lose a 1,000 contracts short, went from 34 to 33, and however, we saw beans go from 43 to 53 short. And corn and soy oil basically went from 55 to 73 short. So you can see that they're shorting the oil. They're shorting more of the beans. Corn went from being 45 long to 3 short. So you also can see that they're unwinding some of that. And the only one that still remains long is soy meal, and that's just by 1,000 contracts. It had been 30,000 lots long. So you can see that, to me, it looks as if it's money flow coming out. And we have to remember, when we see things like the stock market has been doing, those guys do hedge their portfolios in the stock market over here in the commodity market. And so when you see a big down, oftentimes they'll come here and they'll pull out any money that they maybe have made or just invested over here to try and meet margin calls over there.
Interesting stuff. Support and resistance levels before we get into everything else for the day.
Well, Dease corn, next week, Friday will be first notice day, so then we'll switch over to March corn being the first one. But for right now, when you look at support, it's sitting down at 352, then 342 and a half, and 309. Not much of a change at all from last week. 375 resistance, 386 and a half, and then 409 and a quarter. Now remember, these are weekly numbers, is what they are. They're basically retracement numbers. When you look at March, support 368, 354 and a half, 323 and a half, and then resistance is at 386, 405 and a half, and 437. On beans, we now January 871 for support, 846, and then 815, and resistance is at 908. 931 and 972. And then when we look at March, we've got fairly close to the same as January, 868 for support, 826 and a quarter, 816, and then resistance 918, 967, and 1008 being major resistance. You know, we only could hope that we could get that far.
Hey, you know, on Friday, USDA releases a report, USDA AMS, on export inspections, and I like to look at it periodically. So this week I tweeted out what those numbers look like using a PBS function, or public broadcasting service, from Sesame Street. You remember the song, "One of These Things Is Not Like the Others"? And one of the, and that was the case, at least when you looked at the numbers for corn, soybeans, wheat, and sorghum. Corn was the only one actually running above on inspections
right.
for the year so far.
Yeah.
What do you think of export inspections?
Well, you know, wheat saw a little improvement. You know, it went from 22% behind to 19% behind. You know, whoop-de-doo. And the thing is, you know, the USDA is saying a 14% increase. We do still have a long ways to go in this particular crop year. Corn, 79% ahead of last year. I mean, it is really, really slamming out the door. And again, you know, my favorite word, front loading. USDA is saying a 1% decrease year over year, and beans 43% behind, same as it was last week, and they're saying a 3% decrease. And so I look at this, and I'm thrilled that we're really pushing corn out. I'm just hoping that it's not going to be another situation like we saw with beans. You know, last year we were in this position with beans, where beans was, they were just way ahead on export inspections, and then at the end just died. And I'm hoping and praying that's not the case for corn this year.
Hey, speaking of inspections and exports in particular, you have been asking, I think, and maybe some others too, USDA to do some things with their projections for the year. It seems like maybe they have fulfilled a request that you've asked over time. What's that all about?
Well, you know, we always did get the 90% confidence levels, you know, to be able to figure out what the deviations were on the report, you know, and that, you know, over the years, you've heard me talk about them. You know, it could be this high or it could be this low. Well, now we actually have those numbers coming in on exports and carryouts, and there's a lot of at the world level, at the U.S. level. It's just a very detailed situation that gives us a better handle on what's going on. Now, today, Todd, I chose to just talk about exports and carryout for corn, beans, and wheat, and I think When you hear these numbers, you'll understand why I am concerned about where we are on inspections on corn. For exports, their 90% confidence level is at 28.1%, meaning, you know, we could be at 3.1 million bushels of exports, or we could be at 1.76 billion for exports. And the highest they've ever been off, though, in the last 20 years is 575 million. And the lowest they've ever been this is against the final estimate for the year, okay? And I said only 20, but it's actually 37 years worth of information. 9 million is the lowest that they've ever been. Carryout, their confidence level is 39.6%. That means we could be at 2.42 billion. Or we could be at 1.04 billion. Yeah, I know. And the highest they've been off is 986 million. The lowest is 17 million. And so you know, exports are so important to us, and that's what concerns me when you look at this big picture, because if we drop down to 1.76, you know, that would be a horrid situation, because we're at 2.45 right now. And so hopefully that won't be the case, but it just tells you that there's no confidence here. And I think, it's coming out of China, it's coming out of the tariffs. Now we look at beans, 17.2% confidence at the 90% level on exports for beans, meaning we could be at 2.26 billion, or we could be at 327 million. That's how wide this number is right now, you know, and so that's a real scary, scary situation. The highest they've ever been off is 260 million. Lowest is 3.6 million bushels. Carryout now, they're at 87.3% confidence level. So they're saying that 1.1 million would be at the highest end, 800 million the lowest end, you know, so it's just really iffy, and I'm sure it's all coming out of the fact that we have no confidence as to what's going to happen on the tariff situation. On wheat, exports 12.7, so we could be at 1.15 or at 130. And the furthest they've been off is 3.16, lowest is 7.3, and carryout 19.3%, so we could be at 1.1 billion or we could be at 183 million. Well, we know we're not going to be. It's highly unlikely we'd get all the way down to the other end. But it just, all it does is say to you that there's not enough here to base anything on that says that they could give us the confidence that we need to be able to say, like on beans, on carryout, 83.7%, that's pretty darn good. You know, but I don't really care for a 949 million bushel carryout with only a potential for an 800 million. That scares me, is what it does. And so something's got to change in order for this to come around. But these are good numbers, and there's a lot of things that a person can go through and pull out of all of this. And it's the things that we've been looking for a long time. Where are they coming from?
One final note as a transition, those numbers depend some on what happens in South America, depending on the crop, of course. So what do you know about Brazil at this time?
Well, I've talked a little bit about President-elect Bolsonaro. And he's right now he's working on his cabinet, and he's looking to combine the ag and the fishing and the agrarian and the indigenous and a bunch of other divisions, which is not very popular with the environmentalists. You know, we've talked about this before. He is not an environmentalist, and he does not believe in them having to set aside 20% of their hectares in trees. And so the other people who really don't like it are the indigenous tribes. And what they do a lot of times, and I think it's probably hard for people here in the U.S. to fathom, is they'll storm a farm and they will demand 25 hectares of land for each of them for themselves. And in the past, the government's allowed them to do this. You own the land, but the indigenous people come in and they say, we want 25 hectares for each of us, and the government has allowed them to do that. And so Bolsonaro is saying, no, I don't believe that that's right. If you own the land, you certainly wouldn't believe it was right. But in the past, I know even when Jeff and I were down there in 2006, it was very common that if you owned land that was not producing food, that you were just getting prepared, and everything else, people could come in and take it, and the government would let them do it, even though you owned it. It meant nothing. And so beyond that, soy rust, they are very concerned about for this year, mostly because, last year they were very dry, but they've already had 19 cases of rust, which is very early for that. And rather than dry like last year, they certainly have had plenty of moisture present now, to push it along. And on the moisture side of things, remember the good old highway B-163, which goes up to the Amazon?
You betcha.
They're already having major problems. Major problems on that. It is a very convoluted situation down there because of the fact that nobody knows where they stand due to this freight situation. Bolsonaro says that he wants to repeal this freight situation. He doesn't take over till January 1st. So, when you look at between now and then, that's a lot of time and a lot of product that would be moving. And, even your big companies, your commercial companies, the Cargills, the ADMs, they don't want to do contracts because they just don't know how much freight is going to be. And the farmer doesn't want to contract anything because he doesn't know what he's going to have to pay. And, you know, we've talked in the past that, you know, to take something 1,300 miles, which isn't uncommon for them to haul, you know, it's $2.89 a bushel just to haul it, not counting the tolls on the roads and everything else, you know. And so I think as this whole thing unfolds, we'll find out if Bolsonaro can actually make changes, or if he's going to get bucked every inch of the way, you know, by the establishment, let's put it that way.
Asian soybean rust is, you mentioned, I thought about that for just a second, looked it up while you were talking, thinking that they had developed resistance to the fungicides used to control that, or were starting to, and I think that that's really the case. So it may be something we need to watch this year. Hey, thanks for all the super good information. Have a great holiday.
You too. Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. Hey, have you signed up for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits? I know I just finished up the Farm Assets Conference, but the summits are coming up. We'll be traveling across the state of Illinois with the agricultural economist and farm policy specialist from the U of I. And it's your opportunity to ask questions directly at the professors that are developing all kinds of information that you might find on the Farm Doc Daily website, and that, of course, you hear here on our radio programming. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits are coming up the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st of December. Find all the details online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Happy Thanksgiving. Here's a list of turkey facts you might find of interest. Did you know that Ben Franklin, in a letter to his daughter, proposed the turkey as the official United States bird? In 2007, the average American ate 17.75 pounds of turkey. The heaviest turkey ever raised was 86 pounds. That's about the size of a large dog. A 15-pound turkey usually has about 70% white meat and 30% dark. The male turkey, of course, is called a tom. The female turkey is called a hen. The turkey was domesticated in Mexico and brought to Europe in the 16th century. Wild turkeys can fly for short distances up to 55 miles per hour. Wild turkeys can run 20 miles per hour. Turkeys' heads change colors when they get excited. And most of the turkeys raised for commercial production are White Hollands. It takes 75 to 80 pounds of feed to raise a 30-pound tom turkey. A domesticated male turkey can reach the weight of 30 pounds within 18 weeks of hatching. 45 million turkeys are eaten each Thanksgiving, 22 million turkeys at Christmas, and another 19 million turkeys are eaten for Easter. Male turkeys gobble, hens do not. They make a clicking noise. Turkeys have heart attacks. The U.S. Air Force was doing test runs and breaking the sound barrier. Nearby turkeys dropped dead of heart attacks. The five most popular ways to serve leftover turkey are as a sandwich, stew, chili, or soup, casseroles, or as a burger. Hey, have a great Thanksgiving. If you'd like to see more odd turkey facts, visit the University of Illinois Urban Extension website. I'm Todd Gleason.
Well, just a couple of quick reminders. The markets are closed from now until Friday morning, at least the commodity markets, and they'll resume at the normal time, 8:30 Friday morning, but closed during the noon hour, so that'll be a bit early. We will not have an update of the commodity markets, at least during the closing market report on Friday. However, we will air a special edition of our Commodity Week program. It's already up on the website at willag.org. We recorded yesterday afternoon Farm Assets Conference commodity panel, and it's a good one. It'll run the whole hour if you can stay with us on our home station. Otherwise, again, you can hear the whole thing right now up at the website at willag.org, willag.org. Also, registration is currently open for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. The registration is $85 if you do it online. Actually, $80 if you do it online, $85 if you give them a call.
$90 if you register at the door, will be at 5 sites across the state of Illinois. In the month of December, on the 17th in Mount Vernon, the 18th in Springfield, December the 19th, that's a Wednesday, in Peoria, Thursday the 20th in DeKalb, and on Friday right here in Champaign, Illinois, on December the 21st. The Farm Economic Summits, this is a look at agriculture in the state of Illinois with the agricultural economist and the farm policy specialist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Wednesday afternoon. We're now joined by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thanks for being with us, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving lined up for yourself.
Yeah, well, anything that involves food is usually a big positive for me.
Me too. Definitely me too. Speaking of which, who's going to have a good Thanksgiving day in terms of weather across the United States?
You know, I think most everybody east of the Rocky Mountains will do quite well. We're not expecting any major storm systems. There'll be a few spits and spats on the Gulf Coast and up in the northeast corner of the country, but crop areas will be pretty much free and clear. We do have some wind that'll be blowing around tomorrow, but no one's going to complain because it's a southerly wind that'll be blowing, so it's not a bad environment. But things will change as we get into Friday. We'll look for a rain event coming across the heart of the Midwest. And it's not going to be a big rain system, but it will produce moisture in many areas from west to east across the Corn Belt and down into the Delta and even into the southeastern part of the country. It'll be a fast-moving system. Moisture totals are not expected to be much more than a half inch in many areas. There will be some local totals of a half inch to about an inch and a quarter, however, and they will be random from Missouri down into parts of Kentucky and Tennessee. After that system moves out of the area, we are watching real closely another storm that comes close behind. This one may produce some snow of significance. It has been advertised to be blizzard-like from parts of Nebraska and northeastern Kansas up into Wisconsin. The storm seems to be shrinking in size with each new model run, so we're kind of hoping that for folks that are traveling out there over the weekend, we'll see the storm further minimized. But for right now, a lot of caution is certainly going to be advised here for late Saturday and Sunday in that area I just described, and I think we could see multiple inches of snow and some serious blowing and drifting possible if that system comes to fruition. So a close watch on the local weather forecast will be warranted for that event.
That'll hamper producers who really still are struggling to finish up harvest in a large part of the Midwest. What does next week look like for them?
I think for the most part, we'll start off with improvement, and because that storm I just mentioned will push on out of the region of a high-pressure system with some cold air coming behind it. And then cold, of course, will keep that snow around, so we will see further delays for those folks that have to deal with the snow. But there won't be any new precipitation of significance until we get to the second half of next week. And at that point, we'll have a weak little system coming across the northern and central parts of the Midwest. And it'll be followed by another possibly larger event towards the end of next week.
And then if you turn your attention to South America, how are their crops faring?
Everybody seems to be doing very well. We've dried out a small part of Argentina over the past few days. But there's a good subsoil moisture still out there, and it looks like that area that dried down will start picking up on some additional rainfall over the next couple of days, so not any good reason to be worried about that situation. Some of the longer-term model data seems to suggest that we'll see more pockets of drying take place in Argentina and southern Brazil as we move forward through the following 10 days. So maybe in the second week of December, we'll start chattering a little bit about some pockets of dryness. But between now and then, I think it all looks rosy to me.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Great. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, you too, Drew. That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.